What is going on, guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Bear Performance Podcast. I am your host, Nick Bear, owner of Bear Performance Nutrition. Today is November 13th, which is just about 2 weeks away from Black Friday, which is perfect timing to talk five business tips. Now, I could talk 100 million different business tips, but I'm going to give five because I get the question all the time from people like, hey, what are your business tips? And a lot of the times it's too hard to answer that in an email or a DM on Instagram. So I direct a lot of people to my YouTube channel because I've talked a lot of tips and things I've learned along the way on that platform. But I wanted to use this podcast episode to talk about five things that I truly messed up on every step of the way, but have worked my way through these problems, found solutions, and found a rhythm. You know, we've been in business now for 7 years, and in this coming August will be our 8th anniversary birthday, which is, it's crazy to think about, 8 years of Bear Performance Nutrition. And, you know, we've learned so much along the way that I want to share some of that information, because every single year that we're in business, I learn so much more. And I heard this phrase a long time ago, that if you don't look back at what you're doing last year, the things you were saying, the things you were doing, the things you were working on, and if you don't cringe, that means you aren't growing. And I always remember that, because every year my goal is to grow, whether that's in personal development, in my physical fitness, and especially with business and Bear Performance Nutrition. And, you know, talking fitness, what was it like? It was exactly actually 11 days ago now that I finished Ironman Panama City, and my body feels really, really solid. And today I uploaded a YouTube video announcing my next fitness journey, my next challenge, if you will, and that is qualifying for the Boston Marathon. So at the Austin, and I'm going to get off track a little bit before we get into these business tips, but I just launched this video today, so I want to talk about it. I am training to qualify for the Boston Marathon, which in order to qualify for the Boston, you have to run a sub 3 hour marathon, which is about a 6 minute and 50 second minute per mile pace for 26.2 miles. That's what I'm training for. Now, my best marathon to date was like a 357, and I was weighing around 225 pounds. Well, now I'm about 200 pounds. So I think that with the proper training protocol, things that I've learned throughout the Ironman preparation, things I've learned through heart rate training and zone training, which I will document and talk about within this YouTube journey and series, I think I can make a lot of good progress in the next couple of months. Now, the first race that I'm attempting to qualify at is the Austin Marathon, which is February 16th. 2020, and if I don't make the time hack at that marathon, well, I'll keep training, I'll find another marathon, and I'll eventually make it happen. But I was going through some of the YouTube comments quickly before hopping on this podcast to see, you know, how people were enjoying the new series launch and the content, and I saw a few comments saying, you know, there's no way he's able to do this. There's no way he's going to be able to run a sub 3 hour marathon and qualify for Boston. And all I got to say is, just keep watching. Just keep watching the series. And then after the Boston Marathon qualifying series, once I accomplish that goal and that mission, my next objective is training for an ultra marathon. Now, I have a few ultras in mind that I would like to complete. I'm not going to talk about those yet. But essentially, an ultra is anything over 26.2 miles. I want to do a 50 miler, I want to do a 100 miler, and I eventually want to do the Moab 240. So I'm putting that out there right now. That is on that's on my to-do list, my bucket list. Now, that's my physical goals, and as you guys know, my ambitions, my objectives, my goals, as I constantly move forward with the go one more attitude and lifestyle that I live, that's the fitness side of it. And that drives a lot of the things I do. That drives my mental and physical state. But let's talk business, okay? Because like I said After running Bear Performance Nutrition for the last 7 years, the first couple of years being very, very hard, very difficult, I learned a lot along the way, and I made a lot of mistakes. Man, I lost a lot of money. I wasted a lot of time. I wasted a lot of resources. But to me, that is one of the best ways to find your place, you know. And the reason this topic and these things I'm going to talk about are so important right now is, one, Black Friday is coming up for our company. And as a business, we only do two sales a year now. We do 4th of July and we do Black Friday. Now, in the beginning, when Bear Performance Nutrition just started, we were doing sales all the time just because we needed the cash. We needed the money to pay bills and to maintain operations. But we've built this business to a point where we don't have to rely on sales, and we only do two a year. And because of that, Black Friday is really big for us. So we do 20% off the entire site for 48 hours. We have 4,000 free gifts, so we're giving away the Go One More patch, Go One More wristband. We're launching Fruity Cereal Whey Protein, which is next level, and we're giving away a treadmill. So we recently added a treadmill to the warehouse gym. It is a Nordic Track incline trainer, and we all love it. It's used every day for like hours by multiple people, and we're giving one away. So every $10 you spend on the site during the Black Friday sale is an entry. So if you spend $100 on the site, that's 10 entries, and that entry is for the treadmill we're going to give away after Black Friday. And I'm really excited for that, especially because it's getting colder outside. And, you know, it's harder for some people, depending on where you live, to go out and run. So this will help people get in shape, work towards their goals of whether they're training for a 5K, half marathon, marathon, Ironman, ultra, whatever it is. We're doing this to help you guys reach your goals. But let's talk about number one. Tip number one, let's jump into this. Now, this is, you have to have a vision and you have to understand branding. And like I said, every one of these tips I'm going to talk about, I 100% fucked up and messed up one. And I didn't understand any of this when I got started. Your vision is something that you see from within as the business owner, or whether you're a co-founder. You have to have this vision of where you see your business going. Now, you don't have to see it as clear as day where you know where you're going to be in 12 months, 24 months, 36 months, 48 months, so on and so forth. You don't have to know all of that, but you have to have a vision of the company that you want to build. Like, what do you guys stand for? What are your values? What do you represent? What does your branding look like? What is your target market and audience? Who do you want to serve? Who do you want to educate and inspire? Like, what does your ideal customer look like? And how do you cater towards them? Like, when I first started writing my book, for example, I'm working with a publisher, and the publisher said, you know, who is your ideal consumer of this book? Like, when you are writing this book, who do you imagine and envision sitting in a chair reading the book and taking things away from it? And I was like, oh, that's a great way to look at it. That makes writing the book a whole lot easier because I know who I'm writing it for. What type of person am I writing this book for? That is vision for your target market and audience. Well, the same thing goes for building and running a business. You have to have a vision of who you're trying to cater. You know, when I first started, I said, well, I'm trying to sell to everyone. Everyone works out. Everyone needs pre-workout. I was very, very wrong. You have to have an audience that you are marketing to and creating this product or service for. Now, that is your vision for the market. Right? But as a business owner, as myself, that vision that's in my head, that needs to be dispersed. So like all the people that work for Bear Performance Nutrition, they need to understand that vision. All the athletes that are part of Bear Performance Nutrition, they need to understand that vision. And all the consumers should understand that vision as well. Like, how do you do that? Well, you have your website platform. You have your labels, in our case with a supplement company. We have social media platforms, video, photo. behind the scenes, showing like how we run our business, who's a part of the business. That's all part of not only your vision, but your branding. You know, your vision and branding go hand in hand. And one of the biggest things I learned from the beginning, and I made this mistake, like I did many, is I didn't have a vision. And our branding sucked. It was horrible. But what I was planning on doing was I didn't know anything about the industry. I didn't know anything about starting a business or a brand. So I just started looking at competitors and doing what they were doing. I started copying competitors. And guess what this did for me? Nothing. It did not work out at all. You know, you can never be number one if you're constantly following the steps of one, two, and three. You'll never surpass them. You're always reactive. If you're constantly copying the market, you're constantly copying your competitors, well, you're probably like 3 or 4 years behind. Like if you see a company launch something and they have a marketing campaign around something and you say, oh, well, that worked for them, I'm going to try it out. Well, you are 3 to 4 years behind already just on that campaign. You're already behind. You are being reactive, not proactive. You want to be the person. You want to be the business. You want to be the owner at the forefront calling the shots. You want your competitors to be following you and copying you. And I made this mistake in the beginning, the early years of Bear Performance Nutrition, and it didn't do anything good for us. We were constantly behind and we weren't making forward progression and progress. It wasn't until I said, I'm creating my own path. I'm going to create my own path for Bear Performance Nutrition with a vision and branding that is different from everyone else, and it's unique to ours, and I'm not going to copy our competition. I'm not going to follow our competition. I'm going to be proactive in what we do, not reactive. That is the number one thing you have to understand when you first start a business. You have to have vision, and that vision needs to be passed on to your employees, your consumers, other businesses you work with. That vision has to be universal. Like, for example, if I am the owner, like I am, of Bear Performance Nutrition, and we wanted to launch a new t-shirt line, and I hired a graphic designer to design some t-shirts. Well, if they don't understand my branding and my vision, well, then that t-shirt line is probably not going to be on brand or communicate and talk to our current customer base. So everyone has to understand your vision, your brand, and you have to be proactive in a market that is so reactive. Man, I can go on Instagram right now and find a million different brands that are popping up in a million different industries, and about half of those look identical. Sometimes I wonder, are they like run by the same agency? Are they run by the same people? Or are they literally just copying their competition? Like their color scheme, their logos, their branding, their labels, everything about their social platforms look identical to their competitors. They don't try to stand out at all. And you know where they end up in 3 years? Not a business anymore. You can try to look as cool as you want. You can try to fake it as long as you want. But eventually, it's not going to catch on. Eventually, it won't work out. And those people fall to the side. The dietary supplement industry, like sports nutrition and health, it is a very competitive market. And when I entered the market, everyone was telling me, you realize you're getting in one of the most saturated and competitive markets in the world. And I realized that. I understood that. But I was still willing to take that risk and that chance. And it took me years to figure out how to find my niche, how to get ahead. It was difficult. It really was. But what I realized is you have to be unique. You have to have like that vision and that branding that is unique to you and not anyone else. And being proactive in a reactive market is what sets you ahead for success. Now, tip number two is going to talk about funding, money. As a new business owner, this is probably going to be one of your hardest and most difficult situations. Raising capital can be fairly easy, but it can be also very, very difficult. And people reach out to me on Instagram all the time, every day. And their number one question is typically, you know, how do I get started? And my number one response that I want to write back is, well, how much money do you have to start? And that's the truth. Like, I can give you all the tips and all the strategies and all the plans that I've ever gone through. But in reality, like, if you don't have the funds to put that into place, well, it's useless to you. Now, when I started Bear Performance Nutrition, it was with a $20,000 loan. And I'm sure a lot of you guys have heard this story before, but if you haven't, I'll kind of talk about it. So I was in the Army ROTC department at IUP, Indiana University of Pennsylvania in Western Pennsylvania. And when you're a year out from commissioning into the Army, the Military Associated Bank called USAA offers you up to a $25,000 loan. They call it a pre-commissioning loan. And you don't have to pay that back. Start making payments, the first payment, until like 18 months after you get the money, not until 6 months after you commission. So a lot of the people that I was in school with that were in Army ROTC as well, they were taking out this loan. They were going on vacations. They were buying engagement rings. They were buying cars. They were spending on kind of whatever. And I was like, well, this is my opportunity to spend some money and launch this business. So I applied for the loan, and I was approved for $20,000 from USAA. And that $20,000, which at the time was more money than I've ever seen in my account, I was mind blown. I was like, holy crap, what am I going to do with all this money? Well, when you're starting a product-based business, when you're starting a business in general, it's going to cost some money between inventory, website development, product photos, marketing material. If you're going to run ads with that money, like, it takes money to make money. And for a lot of people, funding is the deal breaker. They get to the point where, like, a lot of people get so excited to launch a business or a project, and they have all the thoughts and the ambitions and the goals and the plans in their head, and they realize, well, I don't have any money to do it. Well, there are ways around that, right? So I'm going to give you a few ways. One, a conventional loan like I took out. Now, this loan was small for starting a business, but you can go to a local bank. You can go to the Small Business Association, the SBA, and get a loan that has good repayment terms at a lower interest rate to launch your brand. To do this, you're going to need a marketing plan, a business plan. Like, they want to see, before they give you this money, okay, how are you going to spend every single dollar? Where's it going to go? Where is your return? What does your website look like? Where are you sourcing your products and your inventory and your materials? They want to make sure you do your checks and balances and due diligence that they're going to get this loan repaid, which is also good for you. Like, if you don't have a plan before taking this money on, well, you're kind of setting yourself up for failure. So, like, a loan through a regular bank, SBA, is a good way to get funds to start a business. Number two, and I've heard people talk about this a lot, but honestly, I've never had any success for this, or I don't think this is something I'd even want to do. You can borrow money from friends and family, right? Like, you can ask friends and family for money to start your business with repayment terms, but, like, I highly don't recommend that, to be honest. It kind of can create bad relationships with those people, and I don't like mixing money with, like, personal relationships. Personally, that's just my opinion. But it is an option. Like, if you have a parent or a grandparent or a friend who is well off and wealthy and is looking to invest in something, well, that is an option that you can go with. Obviously, get some sort of documents drawn up legally by a lawyer for repayment terms that benefit both you and the investor, and you can move forward with that. So that is an option. And then another way to raise money is, like, crowdfunding. If you have a very unique, innovative product or service, applications and websites called, like, Kickstarter, where you can pitch your idea and you can make a video and a platform on these websites and these apps, and then people will invest in your idea, your theories, your product, your service. So you have the startup capital, and then obviously they have to get something out of it, but it's another way to raise capital. your other way is just to save up money for years and years. And then once you save up that money, invest in your product or service. But I will tell you that, like, you will learn quickly as a business owner that cash is king. Like, you need to understand cash flow to run a successful business. And to understand cash flow, well, you need some money to start in the beginning. So I'll give you a clear example. And I've talked about this this practical application on this podcast before. But like, cash flow is money in and money out. So money coming in is like your revenue. Say I sell supplements. Well, there is revenue coming in from those sales. But there's also money going out. You have overhead, like a warehouse, utilities. You have payroll to employees. You have liability insurance. You have cost of goods. So like, if you're getting products manufactured and made and then selling them, well, you obviously have to pay for those costs of goods that you're about to sell. So there are a lot of expenses in running a business. You know, you have to pay an accountant and a lawyer for a lot of things. And these are expenses and also investments that you have to, you know, take into consideration. Like, for example, a payroll to me is not an expense. That is an investment. There is a return on employees. An expense is like your lease, your utilities, your cost of goods, stuff like that. And to understand cash flow, it'll really hit you once you start to make some money, once you start to grow. Because even though the money coming in increases, well, the money going out also increases. And we'll get that to that point in the next step and what that really means. But I would say that like, understanding cash flow before getting started is something that will greatly benefit from you as a business owner and your business. And it is something that my team and I have learned a lot about the past couple of years as we've grown exponentially. Because as more money is coming in, more money is going out. And that's what we're going to talk about right now. Step number three, invest back into your company. So as more money is coming in, as you start to grow, as your revenue increases, well, you have to invest a lot of that back in. And this is really what stems the thought process behind this podcast. Because I think Instagram and social media, in some platforms, in some accounts, has done a disservice to entrepreneurs, for future entrepreneurs. Now, a lot of these future entrepreneurs, and to give a little bit of background, you know, I started my business in 2012, where I'm not sure what year Instagram started, but I will tell you, when I first got Instagram in like 2013, I downloaded it. I realized it was just an app for editing photos, and I deleted it for like a year or two. It was nothing that it is today. Completely different platform. Social media as a whole was completely different. So you weren't going on Instagram looking at people driving around in Lambos and throwing money left and right and balling out. That wasn't a thing when I first started social media. And being an entrepreneur wasn't like this highlighted thing back then, but it is today. And a lot of people online see like entrepreneurs where they start a business and 6 to 12 months later, they got a new car, a new house. They're balling out. They're traveling. They're doing all this stuff. And everyone else thinks, well, that's just the life of a business owner. You know, you start a business, you start doing social media, you start making a bunch of money, and you just have fun and live this life. Well, if you do it that way, there is an expiration date on what you're doing. I can guarantee you that. Most of the people you see online doing this, where they launch a business, I see so many people launch a business, and within like 3 months after they had some good sales or good launch, they go out, they buy a new car, they buy a new house, they're going on trips, they're doing all of this stuff, and you're just thinking, oh man, these people are killing it, absolutely killing it. But then you really never see them grow after that point. Why? Because they're putting all that money they make back in their pocket, and there's no return on the money they're making. They're not investing back in themselves. I'll tell you this, for the first 5 years of running Bear Performance Nutrition, I did not take a paycheck. I took nothing from the business the first 5 years. Every dollar that was made went back into the business. I only took a paycheck in 2017, 5 years after starting Bear Performance Nutrition. And the paycheck that I took was the same salary that I was making when I transitioned out of the Army. So I think I was taking like $55,000 a year in 2017 from the business. And at that point, we were a seven-figure brand. We were making over seven figures. And today, the money that I take from the business is the exact same thing. Now that we're a multiple seven-figure brand, I make money different places. I have multiple different revenue streams coming in. But I don't take a lot from Bear Performance Nutrition. I could, but I put all that money back in. Because when I do that, and when we do that as a team, you know, we take care of our employees very, very well in our team. We really do. That's one of my biggest passions and one of my biggest joys of running a business is taking care of employees and your team and being generous with that. I love that aspect of it. But as the business owner, you have to be fully prepared that those Lambos you see, those trips you see all the time, people balling out, you can have that. Or you can grow your business. You can grow your company exponentially if you invest back into. And that's what we continuously do. That's why we've been able to grow the way we're growing. That's the reason we've been able to launch more products and more variations of products. You know, I see so many businesses start, especially in the supplement space, where they'll launch like three or four products and they don't launch any more successfully after that because they're not willing to reinvest back into the business. Because being able to reinvest back in your business requires cash and positive cash flow. Now, there's something that we did this week to invest back in. There's multiple things we've done this past year to invest back in the business. And I'll just talk about two of them. We've invested more into the business in the past 12 months, probably than we have in the past 7 years as a whole. One of those things is we launched the Bear Performance Nutrition app a few months ago, which was an upfront cost. And then we recently put into development the Embrace the Suck training portion of the Bear Performance Nutrition app. So in a few months, once all the development is done that we've already paid for, users will be able to go in the Bear Performance Nutrition app, access the Embrace the Suck training platform that will be run by a strength and conditioning coach that we'll have here in-house, and it'll be a monthly subscription, but it's not like this cookie-cutter program. These programs are developed by Prior Service Green Beret, strength and conditioning coach, and degree in exercise science, who will be here at the Bear Performance Nutrition headquarters programming these workouts so they continuously move on and build off of each other. And it's a very interactive program. But we're building this app and this algorithm from scratch, which is a lot of overhead. Those are the one of the things we're doing to invest back into the company. Yeah, I could keep the company exactly where it's at and take more money for myself. But man, I want to grow. I want to build it. That's the best part about it. So that's one way to invest back into a business, to evolve and grow like that. Another part is that we're doing is certifications. Now, as we've grown over the years, we've improved products and quality of products. So you will see in a lot of our supplements that we now use trademarked ingredients because these trademarked ingredients are highly tested. They're often put through clinical studies to validate their claims, and you know exactly the source they're coming from and the performance measures that they can create. So we use more and more trademarked ingredients in our products. Now, something we did this past week it's not active yet in our products. So our products aren't certified yet in this space, but they're going to be in the next couple weeks, is a third-party certification for banned substances and quality. Now, this is this was a big investment for us. Now, we use manufacturers where the manufacturing facilities are regulated by the FDA. One of our manufacturers is in Texas. One is in California. They are cGMP certified, current good manufacturing practice certified. And where we get all of our performance supplements manufactured, it is an NSF certified facility, Informed Choice certified facility. Now, we use top tier manufacturers, but we want to go one step further. So we're going to put all of our products, our entire company, through a certification process that is third party. It's not done by us. It's not done by our manufacturers. It's done by another third party, which I will announce that third party once all the certification and the paperwork is signed, that ensures that everything has been completed by compliance and it is free of banned substances. We're investing into this program because we know our stuff is safe. We know what goes into our products. But to give consumers and customers a peace of mind, to reach a larger audience, to be certified for sport by the NCAA and military, and athletes worldwide, we are putting our products through this certification process because we want to build it. Investing back into the business, investing back into the company. It doesn't matter what company you own. Those are just some examples. But in any industry, you can invest back in and build it, continuously build it and grow it. And sometimes that means not taking money for yourself, reducing your cost of living, your luxuries. But ultimately, it pays off in the end. The return is there. And the last thing I'm going to talk about is value added and building a community. Now, we've done this through social media. You know, there are ways to do this depending on what industry or product or service you are offering. The thing about being in the supplement industry is it's a commodity product, commodity service. So like you run out of it. You have to keep coming back to resupply on whey protein, pre-workouts, aminos, creatine, nutrition bars, stuff like that. It's not like, you know, the apparel industry where you might go buy a t-shirt somewhere or a pair of shorts and you don't need that for a few months, a few years maybe. It lasts. But because the supplement industry and being a supplement company, it's a commodity product, you have to, you know, resupply on it. Well, that is an amazing opportunity to over-deliver on customer service, over-deliver on the reach to your consumer, over-deliver on the products you create and the value you offer to bring them back. I mean, we have an amazing return rate for customers because we spend so much time in research and development on our products, so much time with our customer service. We expedite our shipping. We get orders out. I mean, our team, I can't praise the shipping team enough here at Bayer Performance Nutrition. And that comes down to going back to the first thing of having a vision and passing that vision down to the team and the employees. Because I never have to say like, hey, we need to come in early to make sure these shipments are out on time. I never have had to say that. It is implied by the people that work here. Hey, we have more shipments incoming today that need to go out by the end of the day. Everyone gets in early. Sometimes John, Preston, Joe, they're in here at like 2 a.m. packing orders to make sure those orders get out by the end of the day. Like having that value behind your team, ensuring that there's like that touch point with the customers through your team, man, that return that you have right there, having those touch points and that value added, that increases the lifetime value of a customer exponentially. Like that's one way to add value, through the actual fulfillment process. And not a lot of people talk about that. You know, when you hear value, and I'll talk about it here, when you hear value, you often think like social media. Like, for example, us being in the fitness industry, we also make a lot of social media content. We generate content. And through that content, we teach, inspire, educate how to improve your physical fitness, your nutrition, your training. And it's super important from a value aspect itself. And that helps build business. But I think where so many people fall short is like the in-house fulfillment of that product or service. I know so many companies that like they'll get an order in and they'll let it sit for a few days before they ship it out. Like, what are you doing? Get back in the warehouse, fulfill that order, ship it out, and get it to the customers as soon as possible. They paid for it already. Get it to them. You owe them that service. Provide them that service. That value from an online perspective of inspiring, educating, motivating, to a fulfillment perspective of not sitting on orders, having a touch point with customer service, responding as soon as possible, you know, helping the customers and consumers. That all comes together. That all comes together. And to kind of wrap it all up, my biggest tip of all is to continuously evolve. This is where you can't let this fall short. As soon as you get comfortable in the position you're at, and I think this is sometimes the reason I do things like these physical challenges, whether that's a 100-mile ruck march, training for an Ironman, preparing for an ultra, doing these things that push me is the same like aspect and perspective of business, evolving in business. In my physical fitness, you can compare my physical fitness and my business mind right next to each other, and they probably move the exact same way. In my physical fitness, I constantly want to push myself. I want to evolve. I want to get better. I want to reach new limits. I want to find that 100%. I want to do bigger and better. Like, how far can I push myself? Like, how far can I go? Where is my breaking point? Well, my business mind is the same way. If I was complacent in my fitness, where I went into the gym and hit the same workout every single day, didn't care about evolving, didn't care about getting bigger, faster, stronger, learning how to train harder, eat better, optimize every part of it. If I was that kind of athlete, I'd be that same type of business person, and I'm not. I constantly want to evolve. I constantly want to push my limit. You know, what markets can we reach? How can we make our products better? How can we better offer more value to our consumers and our customers? How do we reach more people? It's a constant push to evolve and become innovative every day, every week, every month, every year. And as you slowly chip away at that, trying to evolve, you look back 3 years later and say, holy shit, look how far I've come. And I look back at 3 years ago. 3 years ago was 2016, where we maybe had two pallets in our warehouse, a pallet of Flight and a pallet of EndoPump and some IntraFlight, 2 to 3 pallets tops. Now we have like 120 to 150 pallets in our warehouse, and we're still growing and evolving. And it's just every day you chip away a little bit better, a little bit more. And it compounds over time. So those are some of my biggest business tips. They're big picture, big perspective, but the nitty gritty, the small things that make your business move and tick and talk, that's specific to your business, and you're going to find those as you go along the way. What works specifically for me is not going to work specifically for you. But these little nitty gritty things, so those are the fun pieces that you find when you implement the big picture perspectives and you start moving forward. So hope you guys enjoyed this episode. As always, if you enjoyed it, please feel free to leave a review on the Bear Performance Podcast on iTunes. It helps us grow, reach a larger audience, and gain more exposure. So we'll see you in the next episode.